I too want to extend my appreciation as was prayed for all the men that has been teaching in the Bible class on Sunday morning. Thank you all so very, very much for your efforts. And I may mention this again in just a few moments in my lesson, but one of the things that I believe that you men that have been doing this are appreciating. I have been trying to teach and encourage all of us to read the Bible every day, right? Been trying to encourage everybody to study your Bible every day. Meditate upon the Word. Thinking about the Word all the time. One thing that has been characteristic with Ethan, Doc, and a number of the others, Justin Ritter especially, said, man, I've never been able to really find time to read the Bible, but knowing I had to teach this class, he said, I was setting aside 2 hours every day and studied for weeks trying to get this lesson down. He said, it's all I could think about was this lesson, and I was thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. Bingo. Bingo. When we get to the point that we get so into the Word, not just because we're going to teach, but because we hunger and thirst for righteousness, that makes all the difference in your life. Makes all the difference in your life. So I commend these men. They have done a tremendous job, and we appreciate them very, very much. Very good. Very good. Alrighty. Well, I haven't preached here since last year, and I'm looking forward to preaching this year. Starting today. So what should a preacher preach on when January the 1st is on Sunday? What should he preach on?
Beginning.
Huh?
Beginning.
The beginning? Oh, well, yeah, that would be good. Genesis 1, right? Yeah, yeah. Well, I really think we ought to talk about making New Year's resolutions. I mean, out of what you're thinking about? I just wonder how many of you have already kind of made you had a list out. Several of you going on diets, right? Going to eat better, be healthier, all right? But hopefully somebody is, you know, I'm going to read my Bible more. And several things like that. We're going to do that. So I think it's appropriate, and as having preached a couple of years, I have come to learn that it's best to try to talk about things that people are thinking about already. And that's why Easter time, or whether it's Christmas time, you know, rather than completely go the other direction, not say anything about that particular time, I mean, that's what everybody's kind of thinking about and so forth. You need to focus on that. Well, a lot of people think about New Year's and a fresh start. Kind of just like, you remember the old Etch-a-Sketch? Remember that? You know, you turn the little knobs, you know, do the thing. You didn't get it right, you know, and you turn upside down. Shake it like that. Or remember the little thing that had the little plastic on it? You know, you had the little pen and you wrote on it and stuff. And if you didn't like it, you took the page and went like that, you know, and just erased it, you know. Well, I think all of us look at our lives from time to time, and for some reason in our society, the first of the year is one of those times that we just kind of say, hey, I need to make some changes. I need to do something different. I need to do something more. I need to do something less. So while we're thinking about those kinds of things, I think it would be good for us to talk a little bit about it today. So having said that, I still want to say what I opened with last year in the first Sunday of the new year. I do believe that daily devotion is much better than yearly resolution. When we have become the kind of people that we think on terms of being devoted to God every day, not putting it off until the first of the year and then make a resolution. But having said that, how have you done with last year's resolutions? Some of you made some, I know. Now thinking back, maybe you're sitting here thinking, I can't even remember what I resolute to do. Well, that's kind of the problem with resolutions sometimes. And the reason behind that sometimes is that we we don't take it seriously. For that moment, for that particular time, yeah, we were serious about losing some weight, eating healthy, you know, giving up caffeine or quit smoking or something. But then as time goes on, what happens to us? It becomes a real burden. It becomes difficult to keep on keeping on doing the right thing. So I would say to us, changing your actions does not mean you are more spiritual minded. Now hold on to it. Changing your heart means you are more spiritual minded. And being more spiritual minded changes your actions. Sometimes we get the cart before the horse concept. And we think just because for a few days or a few weeks we change some of our actions, and then we wonder why we didn't stick with it, why we didn't stick to it, why so quickly. I mean, how many times have you made the resolution you're gonna read the whole Bible through? You're gonna read it all through. And maybe you've made that resolution many, many times, and you've never gotten past Exodus 22. Well, why is that? Well, you've changed your actions, but you didn't change your heart. Changing your heart has to happen first. So this morning I want to talk about and emphasize that concept. What is a resolution anyway? Well, a resolution really is a determining or a decision as to your future action. It is the form of the word resolve, that is to change or to transform. So it really does have to do with your actions. But biblically speaking, when we look at this word, resolutions are really a scriptural concept, and it's repentance. You know, some people that are sinning stop sinning because they got caught. Some people that are doing something sinful stop committing the sin, but they've never changed their heart. And I think sometimes we look at the concept of, well, just because a person doesn't do that anymore, then everything's cool. Well, that's not necessarily true. You remember one of the things that John the Baptizer preached to those who came to him to be baptized? He preached repentance, remember? That was his big deal. He was preaching that people needed to make a resolution. People needed to change. But he said, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. If we say that we have changed, then certainly there ought to be actions that are appropriate with that change. In other words, whatever sin we're committing, we're making a resolution or a repentance not to do that sin anymore. Well, you certainly have to quit it. There's no doubt about that. But what goes on in your heart is whether or not this action is quit from now on or you're a repeat offender. The children of Israel were like this. If we drew a graph of the lives of the children of Israel, well, their faithfulness up here and their unfaithfulness down here, and you just graphed out a couple of hundred years of the children of Israel, it would look like this. Right? That's the way it would look. How would your life look? How would my life look? I would suggest the same. Because we have our high moments when we're all changing and doing good, and then we have our low moments when we're back to doing the same old thing that we've done before. Okay? So when we consider this idea of repentance, repentance is a change of heart. That cannot be underemphasized. Yes, we want people to change their actions. You know, if you're living in adultery, you need to stop doing that. Definitely. You need to stop doing that. But the only way you're going to really stop doing that and not go back and do it again, the Word of God has to work on your heart. We have to, according to Romans chapter 12, we have to have a renewal of our minds. A transformation has to take place in our hearts about what we're doing. And when we consider that, I think it's so important that we understand that when we change our heart, it does change our actions, and then that changes our direction. Someone that is baptized into Jesus Christ, they come up out of that water and they're so excited, their sins have been forgiven, they have a mindset that I am new, I'm fresh, I'm clean, I'm going to live for the Lord, and they're excited and they're zealous and they're serving the Lord and they're going in the direction of heaven. But it's amazing how sometimes after just a short period of time, when temptation comes, persecution comes, trials comes, difficulties come, the world sets in, the lust of life and so forth, that it changes all of that. And this vigor, this determination, this real resolute mind to really serve the Lord, it kind of fizzles out. And it happens to all of us at times. So what is the issue? What is the problem to a real resolution? Pun intended, the heart of the matter is the heart. It's the heart. The only thing that can change the heart is God and my submission to His will. That's the only thing that would change it. If I stop sinning because of my wife, if I stop sinning because of my kids, if I stop sinning because of you, that won't last long. Repentance that is true to the book is a godly sorrow, not a worldly sorrow. If I'm sorry I got caught, if I'm sorry I hurt your feelings, if I'm sorry, and I'm not saying that is not a part of the equation, so many times that is the only part of our equation, then we're bound to go back and repeat. Godly sorrow, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, godly sorrow is that which is the ultimate. When we realize what we have done to God, each and every sin, regardless of who we may have affected personally, each and every sin is against God. And to God, first and primary, is who we should have a sorrow that we have hurt God. We then must understand that Jesus was on the cross because of what I have done. That should change your heart. That will change your heart. But it's like medicine, brethren. You don't take one pill when you've got 10 days worth. You take one pill and you're all well and you're done. Brethren have come in a worship service sometime and they've been maybe gone for a long time from services, or they've been living in sin a particular way for so long. And maybe one sermon comes in and maybe it, bam, it hits them right in the heart. And they really, you know, it gets them all fired up and they really want to change and they really want to do what's right, you know. And then that's the last you ever hear about it. What happened? The Word of God is intended to touch this heart. But it has to keep touching the heart. One sermon won't do it. Reading the Bible one time doesn't do it. It's the constancy. It's the continuation of the Word being placed in your heart. Because you see, there's a great battle that's going on. The great battle for the occupation of my mind and my heart. Here's the world. It wants to fill my mind with all of work and school and play and all of this. And it fills my heart with the lusts and the desires and what I want out of life. That's constantly being shoved in my heart. And it is the Word of God that rids the world from my mind so that I can concentrate and think about on things that are above. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. That we constantly put our minds on things above that are spiritual things. I'm not suggesting that the Word of God says that you need to sit with folded feet or legs and, you know, putting your fingers together and humming and just constantly thinking about Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's not the point at all. But this is the point. We don't give enough real thought to godly things to root out all of the bad that's being put into us on a daily basis. And it's a matter of balances. There's a whole lot more crud being put in our hearts than good. And going to church once in a blue moon doesn't fix it. Reading your Bible every once in a blue moon don't fix it. Making a New Year's resolution without the heart doesn't fix it. You got to be bound and determined in your heart to serve God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And there ain't nothing that's going to stop you from doing what God says. That's the heart you need to have. But it's easier said than done. It's easy to make a resolution. It's a lot more difficult to keep it. Resolutions require personal inventory. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. That is something we really don't want to do. It can become tough to look in the mirror. I can imagine for Jimmy and I to stand in front of a mirror and look at what we see. We don't want to do that, do we, Jimmy? No, we don't like what we see, do we? I mean, this is not good. All right? Now, spiritually speaking, can you look in here and see yourself for what you really are? It's frightening sometimes. It's horrifying at times. Why? Because we see the goodness of God, we see the grace of God, we see the purity of God, and we're to be following in this path, and we know we're so far from that. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His mercy. That we don't have to be perfect. Sinless, but do not let that mislead you. I think sometimes when we hear the words, well, you don't have to be sinless in order to go to heaven because of grace and love and mercy, and that's true. That needs to be preached. But don't let that mislead you into thinking that you can just kind of piddle around and just do what you please, when you please, how you please, and grace will make up for the rest. That is not true. That is a deception and a lie. We must give God our best every day. Is that hard? Yes. And by God's grace and mercy, I can take another step. I can do more. I can make another resolution and improve and change and not do that anymore. Don't allow the grace of God to confuse you that you don't really have to give it a good effort. You do have to give it a good effort. You have to give it your best. How would you know whether or not you are giving your best, that you're actually working as hard as you can, unless you test yourself. Unless you examine yourself. And that's where it becomes frightful. If I've said this many times, and it happens to me regularly. And it's the oddest thing. And I'll just say it this way. I mean, it might be while I'm, you know, eating a piece of pizza. It might be when I'm driving down the road. It might be any place, any time, that for some reason or another, the thought just overwhelms me. And this is the thought. I'm going to stand before God and give an account of my life. And I know good and well right now I ain't ready. And it causes me just to quiver. You ever have that thought? You ever have that thought? I think that is our conscience. And without getting into this topic deeply, I do think God tries His best to give us many opportunities to make a resolution. And He does it in lots of different ways. Jesus even said, ask, seek, knock. Knock and it shall be opened up to you. If you really want to change your life, if you really want to go to heaven, if you really want to be the kind of person that God wants you to be, God will answer that prayer. And He will open that door. And He will give you the opportunity to go through that door. But you must go through the door. And once you go through the door, Jesus said in that same sermon, He said, that door is narrow. It is difficult. It is hard. Few there be that find it. Few there be that actually walk the narrow path. Few. So today, there will be some that will hear God through His message. Change your life today. And you'll have this feeling in you. You'll have some kind of emotion about it. About what you ought to do and what I should do and what I need to stop. If you've got conviction of heart, you've got change of heart, you will do whatever it takes to make that change today. And you mean to keep it the rest of your life. But if you're not of a heart, and if you're not of that conviction, you'll get up after the amen is said, you'll go get in your car, and you'll go back and do the very same things that you always do, and it never affected nothing. That's harsh, isn't it? But it's the truth. Throughout the Bible, you see people that were there in the very presence of Jesus Himself. And He couldn't get to their hearts. And there were people that you would least expect that He would just turn their world upside down. And it changed their life forever. Has your life changed? Are you planning on living 2017 just like you did 2016? Where are you at spiritually? You see, you don't owe me any answers to any of those questions. I ask them in behalf of God for all of us. Test yourself. Are you in the faith? Whatever the sin in our lives, we must face it. You must face it. to deny it exists is just, I'm sorry, parents, for your little kids. I'm going to say a no-no word. It's just plain stupid. You have to face it. You have to admit it. Stop blaming anybody else. It's me. It's my fault. I did it. I'm wrong. You must resolve to quit it. I just need to stop this. The insanity must stop. Quitting it, sometimes it's just a matter of getting around to it. Many years ago, maybe some of you can see this, what this is, it's just a piece of paper with a circle, and it's T-U-I-T. Round to it. And we say we're going to do such and such when I get around to it. There are the honeydews that my wife asks me. She wants two new lights on the front of the house and the front door. Two new lights. Well, we've got a bunch of other things as far as I'm concerned where the lights at the front of the house is just like number 43. All right? And I'm still working on number one. Okay? But to her, 43 is number one. All right? So I my excuse, well, we'll get to that when I get around to it. Well, here's around to it. So if you need one in order to get done what you need, here's your round to it. Okay? We'll give it to you. Now you say, well, that's silly. Exactly. It's just like the illustration I have used before to you about the fellow that wouldn't be baptized. And why wouldn't he be baptized? Because he didn't have any peanut butter. And what did that have to do with anything? Nothing. Because one excuse is as good as another. We make excuses as to why I'm not going to change my life today. I make excuses as to why I'm not going to start serving the Lord today. We make excuses as to why I'm not going to teach a Bible class. I'm not going to ask my neighbor to have a Bible study with me. We make all kinds of excuses about that. We can't get around to it. One of these days, we're going to wake up, as the old brother said, we're going to wake up dead. And we're going to wish for eternity that we had gotten around to it. Now think about that. Eternity. Thinking. I wish I had gotten around to it. Praying God for forgiveness is such a beautiful thing. I appreciated so much Richie's prayer this morning. And not that no one else doesn't do this. But today, just especially today, his prayer and praying for the people of the community and the loss of these lives with the accident seemed like such a fervent, from the heart prayer. And that's a beautiful thing. When we can pray to God so personally about things that touches our hearts. You know what a beautiful thing it would be if you would throw away your stubborn pride and you would humble yourself before your God and pray to God to forgive you of your sin. That's a beautiful thing. And look to Him for strength. We have all kinds of passages that teach us about how God will strengthen us. Paul, especially in Philippians 4, verse 13, remember that powerful passage? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That passage doesn't mean if I get out here in the parking lot and run real fast, all I have to say is Jesus will take care of me and Jesus will help me do it and I can run real fast and jump over this building. Jesus is not wanting me to jump over this building. And if I was to jump running toward this, I would hit that brick wall. I would not make it and it would not be the Lord's fault. But what does the Lord want me to do? He wants me to trust Him. He wants me to overcome the world. He wants me to put him first. Not some facade, not every once in a while, some pretend. Really, really be dedicated to him and trust him with all of my heart. He'll help me do that. And he can remove mountains for me. And he will. That's the kind of faith we're talking about. So just for a quick moment, let me just give you something to think about. Maybe you should make a list of things you need to quit. If we just make a list of things you need, can you do that? But can you make a list of things you need to quit? Can you do that? Can you make you a second list of things you need to start doing? Can you do that? And most of us are sitting there thinking, well, that's corny. I ain't going to do that. Yeah, fine. Don't do it. This whole deal's corny. Amen. Just leave the building, go eat lunch, and don't ever think about it again. It's corny. In the kingdom of God, attendance is that significant. Give him more. Just something that just to think about. Giving more of your time to the Lord. Giving more time of your more the Lord more of your money. I said something to the elders here recently that one thing I have not preached on since I've been here is about giving. And most usually when preachers preach on giving, the contribution will go down. So I'm fearful to preach on it because our contribution is doing pretty good. But I will say this. We tend to be the society that we eat out quite a bit. And if you go to restaurants that much and there's a waitress or waiter there, it's probably not uncommon for you to give 15% for a tip. If they're really friendly and smile at you a lot, you might give them 20%. Then on the first day of the week, we come and give less than that. Now think about that for a moment. Have you ever really just sat down and looked at what your income is versus what you give to the Lord? Do the math and figure out what percentage that is? Have you done the math on that? The raises you've got, the promotions you've got, did your contribution ever change? You know, Malachi recorded God as saying, will a man rob God? God said through Malachi, yes, you are robbing me. I'd hate to stand before God Almighty in the day of judgment and him say, you stole money from me all your life. I gave you great blessings and you didn't give me doodly squat. But we got fine cars, we got nice houses, we go out to eat, and we give this person we don't even know 20%. And give God what? Another dollar. Just something to think about. That's testing yourself. Reading and study of God's Word. You're sick of me saying that, right? He's like, he says it all the time. Teaching others. Say that all the time. Well, is it baloney? Or is it the truth? If what I've been teaching you is baloney, then the elders need to fire me today. If it's the truth, what should we do? Personal character, your temper, your language, your attitude, being more loving, your zeal. Is that something we can work on? What about relations with others, our spouse, our parents, children, neighbors, workplace, school? You see, God holds me accountable. I am accountable to God. The lesson today is difficult. Because I think I'm convinced that you that are here today, You know that I believe and teach in the awesome grace and love and kindness of God. That cannot ever be discounted. And I'm thankful to God for His grace. And I'm going to need His mercy. And I'm going to need His love when I stand before Him. And I don't necessarily think that it's a matter of works of checks and balances and, you know, you do a lot more good than you do bad and it kind of weighs out and God says, well, you've done more good, so you... That's not the deal either. But the thing I'm trying to work on today for us is simply this. Our God is a loving God and He's given you one more chance this side of eternity. 2017 can be the greatest year of your life. Because finally, you dot the I's and you cross the T's with your heart to serve the Lord with all you got. If each and every member here did that, each and every visitor here did that, this church would be almost unrecognizable in 6 months. It's a domino effect, brethren. Don't sit here today and think you as an individual, you're just one person and you make no difference. Jesus Christ died for you personally. You make a difference. And it's when we come together in His name, and we sing and we pray and we worship Him and we remember His Son. Collectively, we have an influence in this community. Becoming a Christian is the most important thing you ever do in your life. The second most important thing you ever do in your life is actually live for Him. Live for Him. Live for Him. May God Almighty help all of us to really sift through our lives for 2017. What's really important that I need to be doing? What do I do that just doesn't amount to nothing? Get rid of it. What are some things I really need to start doing that's really important? You need to seriously think about that. Maybe you do need to lose a few pounds. Maybe you do need to eat a little healthier. I'm reminded of what Paul told Timothy. Bodily exercise profiteth little. Does it profit? Yeah. How much? Just a little. What's most important? Spiritual. You've listened well this morning, and I appreciate that so very much. An appropriate song that we're going to sing, Trust and Obey. That comes through your actions, but it first begins with your heart. Will you trust the Lord with all of your heart? Will you obey His every will? If you want to do that, all of us probably need to make some resolutions. Make some changes. Let's do it from the heart. Let's do it for the Lord. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?